Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people are busting, but everybody else in between, kicking it in the late night to hours. The Vancouver Canucks kick it this evening. They got kicked in the teeth in game one. They lost 5-0. In game one, they bounced back with a 5-2 victory tonight over the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And the Pee Wee Herman Playhouse word of the day today on Sports Rage Late Night is resiliency. Ding, 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 ding. Resiliency as the Vancouver Canucks show their resiliency after an embarrassing game one. And we expected the Vancouver Canucks to bounce back. They were in a tough spot. They played Minnesota. Then they played St. Louis, and, you know, they played on a Friday night, and then suddenly they're playing game one on Sunday night. They were put in a tough spot, the Vancouver Canucks, so where they respond in a big way. Speaking of responding, speaking of resilience, got to give credit to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I wasn't sure that they had it in them. The Tampa Bay Lightning give up a late lead as Boston scores with about 5 minutes left in the hockey game, sends this game to overtime. Yet Tampa Bay finds a way to get it done. Tampa evens the series. Resiliency shown by the Tampa Bay Lightning, the same resiliency shown by the Denver Nuggets. As the Denver Nuggets' backs were against the wall, and in fact, they were down by double digits against the Utah Jazz today. And as the late, great Dennis Green said, we let them off the hook. You want to crown them, you crown their ass. You want to crown them, you crown their ass. We let them off the hook. And that's what they did. They let them off the hook. They were up by double digits, and they spun this. And in the end, Denver ends up winning by double digits. Crazy, crazy game, man. Jamal Murray goes off, puts on a shooting clinic. Paul George actually hit some shots. And speaking of going off, the Clippers dropped $1.54. That's right. The Los Angeles Clippers, if you're just joining us right now and you were unaware, I don't know, maybe you're working in a mine or something like that. What's the score? The score was 154-111. That's what the score was. Countdown is on. College football starts next Thursday. NFL football, 16 days away. We crash and bang. We crunch the numbers. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night continues. I am Gabe Morenci. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, wherever you are joining us tonight. The countdown is on. 16 nights away from the start of the National Football League regular season. I think we'd be naive to believe that this regular season is going to be like any other. And I think we'd be naive to believe that this NFL season won't present some challenges. And, you know, really, I think that we as sports bettors, from a handicapping perspective, you know, we face the same challenges as the players do. And as the general managers do, it's a unique situation for everybody. Like, it's different for everybody. It's different for the coaches. All right. It's different for the head coaches, in which the head coaches didn't have their mini camps. The head coaches never really had an opportunity to coach the football team, to meet the team. If you're a new coach, to coach the rookies, usually there's a rookie camp. All that stuff was done online. All that stuff was in Zoom meetings. All right. And they really don't have a lot of practices, guys. We're talking about 21 practices, 10 of which with pads. All right? So think about that. Instead of 4 preseason games, they have 10 days of practice in pads out of the 21 days. Like, they're allowed to tackle and practice and hit each other for real for 10 days. All right? So if you're a coach, you know, I can't imagine. Like, coaches are perfectionists, all right? And, you know, none of them are perfect. Someone, you know, Belichick's damn near, but you know what I'm saying? Like, even the worst coach, like, even Adam Gase, like, sleeps, like, 4 hours a night only, okay? Like, Adam Gase is up right now, literally at 4 a.m, 3 a.m, going over schemes and stuff. So, you know, just from a perfectionist standpoint, it's got to drive coaches crazy because their jobs are still on the line. Don't think for a second that, like, general managers or owners are going to feel sorry for anybody after. Like, if your team sucks and there was high expectations, it counts. Like, it counts against your permanent record. You know what I'm saying? Like, these games count. So if you're a coach, you're like, oh, this is great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've got to go into the season. I've coached these guys 10 times in practice and pads. I don't even know who's good on my team. You know, I'm a new coach here. Like, there's a lot. So the coaches are in tough. The players are in a unique situation right now. And, you know, the general managers, basically everybody is. Everybody. The owners, you know, they're not making money like they're used to. And then you get it to us, the bettors. You get, you know, the hustlers on the street, so to speak. And how do we handicap this? And there really is a lot of invariables to this, guys, that just haven't been here in the past before. And I think one of them, like, really is, like, home field. Like, home field, and what does it mean? What is it going to mean without fans? Home field advantage last year was the second lowest. The home teams had the second lowest winning percentage in the history of the modern NFL last year. All right? Home field has started to begin to mean less and less as time has gone on. And you'll notice this across the board in most sports. Collegiately, home court, home field means something in college, but that's just because they're dumb kids. So, you know, in pro sports, it really doesn't mean all that much. Home ice doesn't really mean much in hockey. Home court kind of means something in the NBA, but not as much as it used to. You'd rather play at home than not, but, you know, look at last year as a good example. The Toronto Raptors won all three times that they played in Oakland. So they won all three of the Warriors' home games last year, and they only won once on their home court, and they lost once. You know, St. Louis Blues last year, the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins was the same thing. Like, they were always losing at home, and they would win on the road. So, yeah, in the NFL last year, home teams won 132, 123, and 1. Only a little bit over 500. And it was the lowest winning percentage for home teams since the AFL-NFL merger. Second lowest, and the lowest since 1972, when home teams only went 90-87-5. Now, there still will be home field advantages. All right? If you are a warm weather team and you are going into Green Bay in December or January, whether there's fans are there or not, and you're not used to playing in the cold, it sucks. It's cold. And whether there's fans there or not, in fact, it'll be even more cold because there's not fans there in the stadium. But where I'm going with this is where Roger Goodell is dropping the ball, and this is the hypocrisy of Roger Goodell, in which Roger Goodell will often play judge, jury, and executioner. Roger Goodell will often say, you don't need to be arrested for me to step up and in. You don't need this for that to happen for me to suspend you. I mean, what's Antonio Brown suspended for? What did he do? He threw a rock at a moving company, like a truck or something? Like, whatever, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so like Roger Goodell, he'll play judge, jury, and executioner. But now when it comes to allowing fans into the stadiums, he's like, well, it's up to the states. And this really does this. Like, how much of a competitive imbalance does this create? I don't know. I don't think very much, to be honest. Because, get this, teams that don't have fans are going to be piping in crowd noise. So they're going to have noise anyways. So whether the noise is real or not, it's still noise. Except already coaches are very concerned about this in the NFL because the NFL hasn't set like a set decibel yet. Like, how are they going to enforce it? How are they going to enforce this? So for me, I just don't expect the National Football League, like, how are they going to monitor this? So it's 80 decibels. The NFL is saying you're allowed to have 80 decibels piped in. To put into perspective, like, you know, like a Seattle Seahawk game, they get to like 100 plus decibels. They get to like a jet taking off, not quite a Motorhead concert, but it gets loud. So 80 decibels isn't quite as loud. Except already various general managers and coaches are like, how the hell are they going to gauge that? Like, are they going to have someone standing next to the speakers? Like, really? And are you going to be able to trust teams with this? So basically, an 80 decibels is nowhere near the craziness and the loudness of what a real football stadium is. Now, it's interesting. Like, Doug Marrone, coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is talking about, Doug Marrone was saying that, was talking about when he got to Jacksonville, that it's actually louder in college than it is in a National Football League, that it's not loud anyways in the NFL. Yet I just think it's ridiculous. It's crazy to me that a league as big and as so-called sort of important and as serious as the NFL is, that they are going to allow to have fans in some stadiums, but others will not. And I think, you know, it's time, I think I tell you, who's going to allow fans, who isn't going to allow fans, who's allowing a limited amount of fans. Three teams in the NFL have already stated there will be no fans for the entire year. They've already made the decision. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. All right, great job in the pit. Master Control, Midtown Manhattan. I am Gabe Morenci, kicking it here in the late night hours. A lot of stuff to get to. We're talking NFL football right now, as the season is just a little more than 2 weeks away. So I think it's kind of important to know from a handicapping perspective who has fans, who doesn't, how many fans, what's the situation and status for each team in the National Football League right now. And we can tell you right now, three teams have already decided that they will not have fans for the entire season. The Chicago Bears are one of them. So the Chicago Bears have announced they will not have fans for the entire season. The Washington Football Team. If there's an organization that is probably kind of lucky, actually, like, you guys don't even have a name. Like, if there's a team that, like, you know, benefits from this, you know, they can suck again. It gives them time to get their name and their act together and stuff. You know that the Washington Football Team, like, said, oh, yeah, no fans. Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Yeah, so, and the Raiders. I don't know the political decisions behind this. I mean, I know that the mayor of Las Vegas is a nice lady, but she's a whack job. And she doesn't even believe in the virus in the first place. I think basically Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, basically stated that it wouldn't be fair to the season ticket holders to only put in a limited amount of fans. He said either like all the fans get in or none of the fans get in, because it wouldn't be fair to them. And we all know that the Raiders are all about fairness. We know that, like, the Davis family in their entire life has always just been simply about fairness. Like, I can't even say that without laughing. But he is pissed off. He doesn't want to have limited fans in the stadium. But those are the three teams that have said they've already made the announcement. No fans all year. The Chicago Bears, the Washington football team, and the Las Vegas Raiders. And there's almost a little bit of a poetic justice here, actually. Just that the Raiders stiff people all the time. They treat their fans like crap. And now Davis is all about, like, oh, fairness and, like, his fans and stuff. It's like, yeah, whatever, bro. And nothing against the people of Las Vegas, but as I stated, like, you know, the Raiders fell ass backwards into this, and they're going to make a ton of money. So now, you know, now of all teams that they have to wait, there's a little bit of irony here. So going through the list, of teams and the situation. So write this down or remember it. Or don't complain when you bet on an NFL game and go, oh, I didn't know they had fans there. So no fans. Chicago, Las Vegas, Washington. No fans for now. No fans until, quote, further notice. The Giants, the Jets, the Chargers, the Rams, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, of course, the Giants and the Jets both play in the same stadium, and so do both Los Angeles teams. And things are not going well in California right now. Never mind, you know, the fires, and we wish everyone the best. And shout out to the first responders. It's real tough work that these guys do, real heroes out there. So, you know, the Giants and the Jets are in New Jersey. I wouldn't expect there to be fans there anytime soon. They're pretty on top of it as far as the virus is concerned, Governor Phil Murphy. Yet, so they didn't say though for the rest of the year. They just said until further notice. No fans until further notice for the Giants and the Jets. I wouldn't expect fans there though. The Chargers and the Rams, I wouldn't expect fans there. And then you got Philadelphia, which Philadelphia is so close to New Jersey, it kind of operates on Jersey, like sort of like they sort of operate together. So I'm not surprised that Philadelphia doesn't have fans. No fans for the first two home games, and then they're taking it from there. Denver and San Francisco. No fans for the first home games. Denver and San Francisco, they're taking it from there. Buffalo, same thing. Now, Buffalo stayed in New York, so Cuomo's got a lot of pull here. No fans. As of now, they're deciding as they go. Atlanta, Buffalo, Detroit, Green Bay, Houston, Minnesota, New England, New Orleans, Seattle, and Tennessee. Although Seattle have announced that there'll be no fans through October the 11th. They already know, no fans through October the 11th. Now, there's a couple of teams in that pack, actually, that I wanted to bring up here. The New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints, to me, that's a football team that gets hurt by not having fans in the stadium. They play in a dome. That dome gets incredibly loud. And those people are freaks. Like, those people really are legitimately freaks in New Orleans. And I think they do have an impact on football games. Think about playing, like, on a Monday night football game. Think about, like, playing Monday night football in New Orleans without fans or as opposed to with fans. What do you think is going to be easier for a visiting team? Let's just be real. I think this hurts the New Orleans Saints. And I'm looking at teams in the NFC. Who's going to win the NFC this year? Drew Brees, this has to be Drew Brees' last year. Drew Brees, like, can't play forever. He's also, Drew Brees not going to be the type of guy that gets pulled off a football field, right? Basically, Drew Brees is trying to win a Super Bowl and ride off into the sunset. And I think the New Orleans Saints have a legitimate chance of winning a Super Bowl. I think they're Super Bowl contenders, although Drew Brees seems to sort of have dead arm at the late in the year and have had problems just getting it done in the playoffs the last couple of years with fans. So, you know, I look at New Orleans and I think, you know, I was thinking about this. I'm like, man, New Orleans gets hurt here. That place is tough to play. That place is a like a zoo and stuff. You know, like an empty dome, it's nowhere near as intimidating. It's nowhere near as intimidating. And what about Seattle as well? I mean, Seattle and the 12th man. The 12th man, I guarantee you, the 12th man is louder than 80 decibels. And they're saying that a regular conversation is 60 decibels. So in other words, I must be like 100 because I'm not regular. So 80 is like a murmur. I don't really know what 80 decibels even is the point is, to be honest. All right, so these are teams that will have fans, but they're not telling you how many yet. Cincinnati, Dallas, and Pittsburgh. I'll tell you right now, Dallas will have a lot. Dallas, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, think about this. You do have a loaded roster. Your team is pretty, like, fragile and soft. You can't win on the road. You can't beat winning teams. But now it becomes a lot easier because there's no fans. And for a team that chokes all the time, like, I think the no fan thing actually helps you. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, dude, their stadium is massive. And the governor of Texas, come on. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Jerry Jones is not pressuring the governor of Texas at all, right, to expand the capacity. Oh, no. I bet you Jerry Jones doesn't even have Governor Abbott's phone number. I bet you that Jerry Jones has no way of all of even getting in touch with the governor if he wanted to. Man, if Jerry Jones told the governor of Texas to do something, I bet you Abbott would do it quicker than Smithers would do it for Mr. Burns. Like, imagine the juice that Jerry Jones has. I think it'd be a good idea if we allow 50% capacity. So listen, I know Texas said 50% capacity at first. And then they said, all right, wait, 25%. They realized that 50 was excessive. But I don't know. They could go back. I mean, it's Texas. And as I stated, I'm sure the Texas Longhorns don't have any influence on them. I'm sure the Cowboys don't have any influence on this. So imagine, Jerry Jones owns that massive stadium. Let's say he convinces the governor of Texas to allow 50% capacity in the stadium. So the Dallas Cowboys will be playing at Philadelphia, and there'll be no psychos throwing batteries at them. And they're going to be playing in Dallas with 48,000 people. Like, literally, there's going to be like 45,000 people there. That's not like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're Goodell, you can't allow this. It's garbage, man. It's a pile of crap. Sports Rage Late Night continues. We'll continue breaking down the NFL fan situation. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Portrait late night. Shout out to Drew Martin in Las Vegas. We'll have to get Drew on soon. Talk some college football. College football now just, 9 days away right now. Central Arkansas and UAB UAB are going to be a team that we're going to have to handicap. If you're ready for college football, that's my word of advice for you right now. Do some research on the UAB Blazers. That's my word of advice for you right now. Because they're a team that's going to be playing a lot. They're like on TV a lot. I got to tell you, man, that college football schedule, it's not pretty. It's not pretty for the first couple of weeks. But for those of you that are hardcore, like pretty much a ton of you are that are tuning in right now, hey, there's college football to be played. So we're just going over the stadium situation right now. And so think about this. So we know the New York Giants, not allowed fans. The Washington football team, no fans. They've announced no fans for the year. The Philadelphia Eagles are saying no fans for now. Like no fans for the foreseeable future. Then you get the Dallas Cowboys. And as we say, we know that Jerry Jones would do anything to win. And we know, Jerry Jones put a lot of money on the table to win. Now you get a situation. This division is already uber competitive between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. All right? Like, it is. Like, you get some people that think the Eagles are to play. You get some other people that are buying into the Cowboys. And one thing with the Dallas Cowboys is there is a lot of hype about them coming into the year right now. And, you know, the NFL talk is just sort of starting to start now. But a lot of people are picking the Cowboys to win the NFC. We talked about this briefly on last night's program with George Kurtz, who's a Cowboy fan. And, you know, guys, they don't beat teams with winning records. They have a long way to go, the Dallas Cowboys. But it is like very competitive division between the Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. And looking at the odds to win the division, the Dallas Cowboys are minus 130 at FanDuel, and the Philadelphia Eagles are plus 130 at FanDuel. On paper, you can make the argument the Dallas Cowboys are the better football team. On paper, the Cowboys might have the most talent in the NFL right now, along with the Kansas City Chiefs. But having talent and putting it all together are two different things. Yeah, is Dak Prescott a Super Bowl caliber quarterback? Some people would say no. You can make the argument with Mike McCarthy there that they can only be better than they were with Jason Garrett running things. But my point is, this is a competitive division to begin with, right? Cowboys minus 130, Eagles plus 130, Giants 15-1, Washington 23-1. Well, don't tell me that it's not an advantage that if one team in this division has fans at their games. So all these teams go to Dallas. And listen, I'm not calling Dallas out for this. And shout out to our listeners in Dallas on the Big Ticket. I'm not calling out Dallas for this. I'm calling out Roger Goodell for allowing this. I'm saying, like, what kind of competitive imbalance is this? So you got three teams in a division that have no fans, and then you're going to have the Dallas Cowboys that have fans. How many people does Jerry Stadium hold? Capacity 80,000. Capacity 80,000. Thought it was a little bit bigger. I know they have the standing room area, et cetera. With the standing room and everything else, they have had 105,000 people in there, but that was in 2009. They don't seem to want to do that anymore. So basically, for the Cowboys, 80,000, and they can expand it to 105 if needed. So let's say this. Jerry Jones says, listen, my capacity is 105,000. It's not 80,000. It's 105,000. 50% of 105,000 is 52,500 people. The Jacksonville Jaguars don't, that's like two Jags games. If you have 52,000 people in the stadium, that's like a normal home game, guys, in the NFL. Like the Chargers only get like 25,000 people a game. So let's say it's 25%. As I stated, I know Governor Abbott said 50%. And then I'm like, 50%? So that's 40,000 people. All right? And let me say that. And don't think that Jerry can't make the argument. And he can go, listen, the real capacity is actually 105. Not 80. But even if it's 80 and they get away with 50, that's 40,000. So let's say it's only 25%. And I'm telling you, man, like I said, you think I was kidding before when I said, oh, yeah, I'm sure Jerry Jones has no influence over the governor of Texas, right? God, how much? How much do you think he donates, man? How much do you think Jerry Jones donates to the Republican Party in the state of Texas? And, you know, and the Texas Longhorns and Texas A&M and everybody saying, oh, come on, man, let us do 50% capacity. And those stadiums are big. So like I said, you know what I mean? Like, so if Jerry really wants to do the argument and say, hey, my real capacity is 105,000 expanded, that's 52.5. Or let's say he's just humble about it and he accepts the 50% of 80, that's still 40,000 people. Don't tell me there's not a difference in a home field advantage when there's 40,000 people in one stadium and the other three teams in a division don't have any fans. So I don't know. I guess we're taking the Dallas Cowboys to win a division. Minus 130. like I said, man, the NFL, what do you guys? We get the XFL. What is this? Like the NFL like shouldn't allow this. Like Roger Goodell should not allow this. And for the record, listen, I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. But now it's getting real that people are realizing it's real. Like coaches are starting to realize this. And Sean McDermott, Dougie Buckets. all this NBA talk. Sean McDermott, anyways, Bill's coach. He's complaining about this because the Miami Dolphins are going to have fans. What a shock, huh? What a shock in Florida. Yeah, so like McDermott's like, what kind of pile of crap is this? Like McDermott like thinks like he's basically calling the league out. He goes, I don't understand how like there's not a competitive, like it's a competitive imbalance to have fans in some stadiums and no fans allowed in other stadiums. And there's our main man, King Ganja in Dallas. What's up, King Ganja? Yeah, saying he flew Abbott in on his plane, on his helicopter. That's what I'm saying. And listen, this isn't an anti-Cowboy rant, guys. As I just stated, I'm going to bet on the Cowboys to win a damn division now because of this. And I'm dead serious. And you don't think, like, as the season goes, they won't even get it, like, boosted up to 50%? You know that Jerry and the Longhorns are working them hard, man. They're working Abbott hard, telling him 50%, 50%. Not to mention, they're going to tell him it's going to help us win. They say, listen, we're going to actually get to the Super Bowl. We're going to have home field advantage. We're going to have the most fans. So, like, all right, so I like this, that basically reduced but unspecified. Cincinnati, Dallas, Pittsburgh. Yeah, Dallas, you're not unspecified because you don't want to tell us because you're going to unleash it. Listen, is anybody going to be surprised when the Dallas Cowboys announce, yeah, we're allowed 65% capacity? Like, I'm telling you, man, it's Texas. It's football. Abbott's going to roll over, man, like an Afghan carpet. All right, like Abbott, yeah, like, yeah, like, dude, 75%. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they just said 100%. Well, you think Donald Trump's going to get mad? Like, who's going to stop them? If I was Jerry Jones, I'd just tell him, listen, you want to win the Super Bowl? Let's go. Make it 100%. We'll be the only team in the league. We'll have a full stadium. 88,000 people. Standing room only. Yeah, what if people die, Mr. Jones? Ah, well, they'll have to sign a waiver. You'll have to sign a waiver. If you die, tough. Go Cowboys. Baltimore's going to have 10.5% fans. All right, this is where it gets real. As we stated, Cincinnati seems to be, I'll tell you what, I know because when Ohio State was going to play and the governor, Governor DeWine of Ohio, he takes the virus seriously, but he's a Republican, so he walks a fine line, but he's a smart guy, and he was in the 25% range. So I wouldn't be surprised, guys, to see the Bengals have 25%, because it says the Bengals are going to have fans, but it's not announced what their percentage is. Dallas will have fans, not announced what the percentage is. Dallas, don't be surprised if it's 50 to 75% or something crazy. Pittsburgh, I think, was like 20% type thing. Pharrell was talking about Pharrell's season ticket holder. I think it's about 20%. This is where it starts to get real, though. 25%. Indianapolis. So you guys have a home field advantage, man. You're playing in a dome with 25%. Jacksonville, 25%. Ah, that's your standard Jacksonville crowd. Kansas City Chiefs, 22%. Chief fans are psychotic enough that 22% of them can make a difference. Miami, Florida, 20%. Tampa, unannounced. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you're bringing Tom Brady in not to have fans, right? I'm sure you're paying Tom Brady all that money not to have fans. Yeah, I don't know. Call me suspicious, guys. Call me suspicious, but I'll tell you what. When I see not announced like Dallas and Tampa, we know what that means. We know that that means at the last minute, they're just going to let, because they don't want like everyone, they don't want the social justice warriors freaking out. My guess is the Buccaneers, 50%. Like I said, they brought in Rob Gronkowski. They signed Tom Brady. The Super Bowl is in Tampa. Same thing. Oh, yeah, Ron DeSantis. He hates sports, right? Ron DeSantis would let Foxy Boxing, like, host a tournament there right now. Ron DeSantis would let, like, me and Mick Aussie play a tennis match there. Shoot a porn, go to Florida. Beaches are beautiful. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Quickest 120 minutes of sports coming to a close here. Scott Wetzel, Bagels and Bad Beats coming up on these same radio stations that you're joining us on. Shout out to people in Indianapolis who joined us earlier tonight. So the Toronto Raptors are 1.5-point favorites in game one on Thursday night. Pete says he expects Kyle Lowry to play on Thursday. We have a series price. The Toronto Raptors, minus 142. Raptors, minus 142 series favorites, which I get that Kyle Lowry is hurt right now, but you want to talk about lack of respect for a defending champion Toronto Raptor team that's benched, just dropped 100 points. Yet this is, you know, it is what it is. The Raptors are minus 142 favorites only. If you like the Boston Celtics, plus 116. I said earlier, I think the Raptors win this series in six games. It wouldn't surprise me if they won in five. I can live with the handicap, and we'll get into the props with the series. The Toronto Raptors to win in six is a big fat blunt, plus 420. The Raptors to win in five is plus 500. So it's not like the odds makers would be in shock if the Raptors won in five. The lowest payout, and that's what you can do, guys. You look at, like, the exact series price, the exact finish, and you look at the odds and look at what the lowest odds are. And the lowest odds are telling you that's what they think is going to happen. And the lowest odds on the board are the Toronto Raptors winning this series in six games. Raptors to win in six, plus 420. The Raptors to win the series outright, minus 142. We'll hit this series much more in depth tomorrow night on the Wicked Wednesday. Shout out to the Pit, Master Control, great job. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.